The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs. I'm Susie Q.
Hey guys, it's Sean.
What's been happening, Sean?
Not too much. I'm not a big fan of this cold weather and getting dark at 4:45.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I get off work at 5 o'clock, and I tell you, ever since the time change, as soon as I walk out of work, I'm just like,
I went out in the river yesterday and for the first time had to break out my dry suit, and I was like, ugh, just not looking forward to that for the next couple months. But
right,
if it gets me on the water, then I guess it's okay.
Right. Yeah. We actually have a winter weather advisory out right now because tomorrow we've got some snow.
That stuff out there.
Ugh. Yeah, I know, right? But I'm like, well, you know, we've gotten spoiled so far with this kind of warmer November. And yeah, the cold definitely kind of dropped in last week. And yeah, we've got our first, you know, whatever. I don't know if it's necessarily a winter storm, but I think they're saying like maybe a couple inches for us. So
wow.
Yeah, we'll see. So, yeah. At least it's happening on Sunday and not during the week when Adam has to travel. So that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
So, but I know we had a little bit of a break from our regular show this past week with with it being Thanksgiving and whatnot. But definitely back at it. But I know we're going to be coming up on our Christmas break here soon. So, I think that's going to be coming up in what, like the week after, 2 weeks, maybe
two weeks. Yeah.
Two weeks. So yeah. We're going to be taking a nice little Christmas break and kind of regroup and get ready for 2024. That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
It's super crazy. No,
it is crazy. I talked to Big Daddy Rap, and he gave me permission to share that I am officially joining Z-Pro batteries, lithium batteries on their pro staff. So I get to, in the new year, that I will be 100% official, but I guess it's all but enough official that I can announce that. So
awesome.
That's my first sponsorship. Yeah. So
heck yeah, man. Well, super congrats. Happy.
Thanks.
That's awesome, dude. Heck yeah. So, and I know you were definitely looking for something for your motor that you got too. So.
Yep, and it worked. I mean, I was out yesterday from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. and it went from 100% to 89%. And wow. That was, and the river was flowing, so I was using it a good bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's a lot of cool things about it. I don't know if like all, you know, a lot of the lithium batteries have it, but it has like Bluetooth, so I can look right on my phone and see the percentage left. Even with it sitting in my garage, like it's not hooked up to anything. I don't know. I guess it just uses a tiny bit of that power to broadcast a Bluetooth signal.
Well, but, that's cool. I'm kind of jealous of that because like mine, just they're just regular, lithium batteries. You know, they don't have any fancy Bluetooth or whatnot on them. So that's actually pretty nice. That way you can actually tell, you know, what percentage you're at. That's pretty handy. I like it.
Yeah. And I always have my phone on me on the water anyway. So
right.
Just a quick little app that, goes and looks and talks to it and says, yeah, you have this much left. So,
right. Awesome. Well, since I know a lot of folks are indoors right now, they might be working on, you know, some winter projects, cleaning up gear, maybe thinking about, doing something different with their kayaks. I know for me, I'm looking to kind of rearrange like my wiring and all that because, you know, I got lights, I got my power pole, I've got a motor, I got a fish finder, other stuff like that. So, you know, I was thinking, I was like, man, I really would like to have, you know, kind of a cleaner and better way to kind of set up my wiring and electronics and everything. And I just happened to kind of be scrolling on Facebook, and our special guest is going to be Mr. Kurt Smits, who is going to kind of help us dive down the rabbit hole as far as running electronics, the wiring for all that other stuff and whatnot. So, Kurt, welcome back to the Noob Show, because I know you've been on here a couple of times, so happy to have you.
Thanks for having me back on, man. It's a pleasure being here.
Awesome. So for the folks who might be new to our show, give yourself an introduction, where you're from, you know, what you do, et cetera, you know, kind of a little brief intro.
I fish a lot of the National Kayak Fishing Series stuff. I'm a 2017 KBF National Champion. And, you know, I just love kayak fishing, you know, and I'm kind of I like to rig stuff. I like to do a lot of DIY stuff. So this kind of goes right up my alley, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Especially with like the modern kayaks, because the modern kayaks, at least for the guys who are doing tournaments, it seems, have evolved, right? You know, because when I first started doing tournaments, you know, I had a little tiny fish finder that was like, you know, it was like 4 inches big, maybe 4 inches big. And you could barely see what was going on. And if you blinked, it moved off the screen. Like you'd be watching it and stuff. So I didn't have lights, you know, you didn't have anything else on there. You could kind of wire up anything to make that work. Right. I mean, you could put anything. So things have just changed so much. And like, you know, congratulations on getting your new sponsorship. You know, the lithium batteries, that's kind of like a whole nother revolution that's happened.
Yes.
You know,
I figured one of the things I could talk to you about is I want to run lines through my hull, and I'm scared to death to cut a hole in my hull or in my in my kayak anywhere. So, but I got the, you know, a through hole wiring kit. Besides, I have an Outback, so it does have some, but not back by the motor where I want to run it through back there. So.
Right.
I was talking to a few guys that did it, and they said it's no big deal, but I haven't done it yet. And every time I go to do it, I'm like, I'm just going to wait a little bit.
It is no big deal, but you should be cautious when you're drilling big holes in your kayak. I mean, I'm with you. I like to put the minimal holes in my hole, you know, or that's kind of weird to say, but as few holes in my kayak as possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But there's so many good line through kits now, like Yak Attack's making a couple different size ones.
Yep.
So you can get them for larger size for doing batteries, you know, hooking up batteries to motors. Because that's a much bigger wire.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that a lot of people need to learn about too, is doing a quick internet search on wire gauges that you should be using for the length of runs that are happening, especially for motors, because they take on 12 volts. It's a lot different than like your home wiring. 12 volts, like you really have to increase the diameter gauge of the wire when you're having more amperage draws, like a motor takes. The motor's, you know, pretty intensive for the draws. And also, you know, going off the manufacturers, you really want to pay attention to what they recommend. I mean, it's just so important. I know like Garmin fish finders, they want you to run a very, I can't remember the exact gauge, but I think it's 10 gauge. It's a very large gauge wire. Yeah. Where a lot of the accessories and other fish finders will be a much smaller gauge wire and say it's okay. So it's really important to know, especially when your battery isn't right next to whatever you're powering. You know, LED lights are one thing, but your electronics are sensitive, mm-hmm. right? You know, I know my Garmin, anytime there's any weirdness with electronics, with the powering of them, they just don't work right. You know, they instantly show me. My old Hummingbird, one side of my side scan, if it got too low on voltage, would go away. So if you ran too long a line, you lose a little bit of voltage through that line. So you'd have these weird symptoms like that. And you would think it's like your transducer's going bad or something else. And really, it was just that you ran too small wiring or something like that.
Hmm.
It's just stuff like that. It's just like do homework. You know what I mean?
Right. Now, when you're talking about, you know, like different gauge wire and whatnot, so, and I know you were saying not just like your average home wire, like what is is there a typical brand or like a typical type of gauge of wire to use when it comes to running wires in your kayak?
So there's not one gauge that I can tell people to use, right? You really want to look and reading your owner's manual and see if it's like a 10 gauge, a 16 gauge, and gauges are kind of weird. The higher the number gauge, the smaller the diameter.
The wires, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So a 16 smaller than a 10. You really want to find out what gauge they recommend. Now there is a specific type of wire that's good to use. They make a marine wire that's made for 12 volt. And they tin it. So what they do is they coat the copper wiring, and it's not a solid wire. It's a bunch of little wires, so it's flexible. They coat that in an oxygen-free environment with tin, and that helps with the corrosive aspects of it being wet all the time.
Okay.
and getting corroded at connections and stuff. And it's worth a few extra dollars because it's really pennies. And in a kayak, we're talking like your longest run's going
to... Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
He will be back, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. So, you know, as he's talking about, you know, the different types of wiring and stuff like that. So I was actually wanting to pick his brain a little bit about this, too. And now that he's talking about, you know, make sure you're using the same size of gauge of wire, I actually think that I might have a different sized gauge of wire going from like one of my yak gear things. So, we both clicked
on the same time.
let's see here. Anyway, just making sure, you know, you're using the manufacturer recommendation for the right size of gauge. And then there's like a marine type of wire you were talking about that helps prevent corrosion.
Yeah, and if you Google that, you're going to get tons of options on where to buy it and stuff. Some local marinas carry it and stuff. So, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like an uncommon thing. You'll be easy to find.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, you know, sounds simple and everything, but when you get to running multiple things all at once, so like you might have lights that you're needing to run, you have your fish finder that you're wanting to run, you might have a power pole that you're wanting to run, you might have a motor. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have common sense when it comes to, maybe your motor needs to be separate from everything else, But then again, you know, there might be some people on here like, oh yeah, I can just connect everything together and it'll be fine. Well, maybe not so much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's common sense, but definitely like having your motor on a separate system in your fish finder, highly recommended, highly recommended. And that's going to do a couple things. It's going to keep the power clean to your fish finder, and it's also going to make sure that you have enough power to run everything. And you don't have a weird power draw happen to it where you where you're putting too much taxing power on the battery and you essentially don't have enough juice by the end of the day, you know? Mm-hmm. And the other thing that solves, well, that I mentioned was that it keeps the power clean to the fish finder. And that's the biggest thing, right? Because if you have an expensive fish finder, you know, you spend all that money on the fish finder. I want to get the maximum resolution. I want it to be the cleanest image, you know, possible. I you know, you don't spend that all that money on it to look at a crappy image, right?
Right. Yeah. And you know, you were talking about, you know, making sure to use same size gauge wiring. And I was actually going to pick your brain a little bit about this too, is so I have a Lowrance unit and mostly everything will work just fine, but then my screen will get super hot, like just barely touching it. It'll be super hot. And then the temperature readout will go from like, you know, normal, whatever the water temp is, then it'll jump all over the place. And then it'll just go up to 999.99. And I'm like, I have no idea what's happening. So I don't know if that's a wiring issue or if that might be a fish finder issue.
That is an interesting issue. I haven't heard that one before. I have heard Lowrance touchscreens get hot just running, but I have not heard that temperature thing before.
Yeah.
Maybe I mean, that is a,
your
that
temperature
could be a
should come from the transducer, so I would think, right? But
yeah. I mean, yeah. The temperature sensor should be separate, right? I mean, that should be down in the water.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
That's going to be a winter project, is to try to figure that out, because that just started happening this year. It was just like mid-season, you know, and I'd be doing my thing and I'd look over and I'd be like, I'm pretty certain that the water is not 30 degrees right now. It'd be midsummer. I'm like, yeah, no, something's not right. And then it would kind of fluctuate all the time. And like, it would look like the depth finder as I'm going over, you know, different depths of water, but it was the temperature going all over the place. And then it would just go to 999 degrees and it would stay there for quite a while. I'm like, well, okay. Fun times, you know, and not really being, you know, up to speed with, you know, electronics and wiring and stuff like that. You know, I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, well, I have one of those Yak power systems where it's kind of like the box and then it's got like the different wire appendage thingies, my bobbers on there, but they have special plugs to them. So you have to connect whatever device that you're wanting to connect to it to another special end. So I wanted to ask you, when it comes to connecting like wires and stuff together, what would you recommend for, you know, connecting things together, or would you almost recommend trying to not have as many like splice connections as possible? What's your take on all that?
You just nailed it on the head with the last thing. I'm a firm believer.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Least number of connections through a wire. You know, from the source of the power to whatever you're powering, I want to have the absolute least number of connections. If I can help it, I want a straight wire running the whole way and just having it be one wire with no interruptions to it. Because every time you interrupt it in there somewhere, that's causing a little bit of, it's almost causing a little bit of power draw. So it's taking a little bit more voltage to go through that connection. And since we're in a very wet environment, the inside of my kayak, I don't know about your guys, but it's always wet. 24/7, 365 days a year, it is wet inside my kayak. So all those connections, they're just being hammered with water, whether they're being, whether it's humidity, whether it's just actually getting wet. I mean, there's just water present. And as soon as you run electricity through something that's exposed to moisture, it causes corrosion. It's just, it's something about the physics of electricity and water. And, you know, I'm not the one to explain the physics of it, but it happens, you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things I want to have the least number of connections. So when you say you have multiple connections, that ultimately could be a problem. And it may be a problem of it just getting a little bit of corrosion in there and it not being able to get juice through one of the connections.
I was thinking that too. It, when you have multiple connections, it's just that many more points of failure too, I guess.
Yes. So.
And, you know, and the electrical system, out of all the things you want to, that you could have problems with, that's like the least one on the list, right? Mm-hmm. No one wants to be at the ramp going, man, my fish finder won't turn on, or your lights won't turn on, and you got an hour and a half till daylight, you know, and you're sitting at the ramp, you know, no one wants that problem, or your motor won't start, and you got a 2 mile run.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, I mean, it's just one of those things that you want to make it, like, for me at least, I want to make it as simple and as bulletproof as possible with the least amount of places I need to look if there ever is a problem. But, you know, the one thing I have found is if you take some precautions like getting the right wire, getting the right gauge, getting the right fuses, you know, and making sure you get the right shrink wrap, right, the shrink tubing, because not all shrink tubing is created equal. Some of it's marine stuff that actually has a heat-activated glue, so when it shrinks around the wiring, it actually glues itself and makes a watertight junction. Where some of them aren't actually watertight. They look like it's really tight, but it's not actually watertight, so water can still get up inside of them. So following all those like little details like that and going the extra mile and getting shrink wrap versus using electrical tape, you know, can really pay off dividends later.
Gotcha. Now, I know with fish finders and motors, I know most of them come with like fuses built into the wiring or whatnot. When it comes to like running other things, like I'm trying to think if my power pole has one. I don't know if it does. When, I guess, when is it necessary to have a fuse, and how do you know what the right kind of fuse is to have?
Okay.
If you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You will know, because usually it's listed somewhere in your owner's manual, and it'll usually be right by the gauge wire unit. So it's like once you find that information, usually really quick you're going to find the other information, whether it's one might be in front of the other, but they're usually together. It's always the right time to be fused. There's never a time where you should have a battery in a kayak and not have it fused. Even if it's a really small system, even, you know, even if you're running like 3 amps, you know, which is a very, very small system, you should still have it fused. It protects the kayak, because we're in plastic kayaks. If you short a wire out, it could get hot enough to melt your kayak. I've actually seen a guy put a hole in the bottom of his kayak.
Wow.
He left his system in there and he had a short overnight and he had a short in his wire. And it actually melted a small hole in the bottom of his kayak.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was, and it was a bummer. We were out of town, and luckily it wasn't a tournament, but we were out of town on a fishing trip, and he burned a hole in his kayak. And that was an unfused system. Where if he would have had a fuse in there, the fuse would have blown and he would have gone, oh, that sucks. And then and realized there was a problem instead of ruining his kayak.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I'm a huge believer in fusing everything, even though most lithium batteries have a BMS in them and they have their own like kickoff systems built into them. It should still be fused. You should still be fused because the amount of juice that can come out of most lithium batteries is significantly higher than what some wires can take, some smaller gauge wires can take.
Now this might be a dumb question, but what is a like BMS system in a lithium battery? Like what is that?
Okay. So, almost all, if not all lithium batteries that we would buy for kayak fishing, they have the battery part, which are these cells that are inside them, right? That stores the energy. And then because it's lithium, and not lead acid, because lead acid will put out a very steady current without any help, right? Mm-hmm. Just the battery itself will just put out a very steady current. Lithium doesn't do that. Lithium will put out a crazy amount of current all at once. So you actually have to have something in between the battery and whatever you're powering to keep it around 12 volts. And that's what the BMS does. It does some other things too. As far as like overcharge protection, undercharge protection, some batteries have temperature protection, and it can do some other stuff depending on what battery you get. All, you know, not all lithium batteries are the same, and the BMS is a big reason why they're not all the same, is that you can pick what features you want, you know, how much protection you want, how little protection you want. But the BMS is basically a circuit board, almost a small computer inside the lithium battery to help regulate everything.
Interesting.
Long answer. Sorry.
No, hey, that's awesome, because like I was like, yeah, I know lithium batteries run different than, you know, sealed lead acid batteries, but I didn't exactly know why. And I'm like, oh, now I know. And I'm sure, you know, plenty of other people are just like, oh yeah, I just got a lithium battery because it's cool. You know, they don't really dig too deep into, you know, the how and why and stuff like that. So always good information to have. Let's see here. What was I going to say next?
I'm wondering, Steve Baker came and helped me install my Newport motor. And I was thinking in my head, I don't remember seeing a fuse. I wonder where, I'm sure it's probably there somewhere, but I might have to look for it. I would think a motor would come with a fuse in the line somewhere too, right? Like I know my fish finder did.
Yeah, I'm not real familiar with the Newport stuff, so I couldn't honestly give you, you know, say, yeah, there is one, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was one in there someplace. Like the Newport battery box, they have one built into that.
Gotcha.
So if you're using that, there's actually one in the box itself.
Okay.
There might be another one someplace though too, you know, like most of our fish finders, they all come.
Yes.
You know, almost all the ones I've ever bought all came with a fuse, their own fuse.
Yep.
Right in the line. Yeah.
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 Let's see here. What else was I going to ask? How do I word this next question? So I know that there's amps, and then there's like voltage, and then there's like amp hours, and other things like that. How do you know like what those mean and how they like relate to like electronics on your kayak?
Yeah. Ooh, man, you're asking really tough questions. Honestly, you are, you know. Because I'm not an engineer by any means.
Right, so. Yeah. I mean, and if you know it too, you know, because I couldn't tell you, like, an amp, a voltage.
You can think of voltage as the type of system you have, right? Us as kayakers, our fish finders run 12 volts for the most part. Now, if you dig into your owner's manual, you are going to find that there is a range that they'll have for voltage for your fish finder, right? But everything that we have will work in the 12-volt range, right? And when I say 12 volts, most lithium batteries are like over 14 volts. So it's, you know, it's a little bit of give and take, right? I mean, they say 12 volts, but there's a little bit of range there to play with. But that's the type of system that we have. The amps that you see, that's how much energy you're using. That's how much juice is being pushed through it. You know, that's like your gasoline coming into your car. Like, how much gas is going into your car? 3 gallons? Well, that'd be 3 amps. Is it 5? Is it 12 gallons? Well, that'd be 12 amps. It's how much juice is actually moving through your system. And that's really the best way to look at it, because you're going to find that some fish finders will come with a 3-amp fuse with them. Some will come with a 6-amp fuse. Some will be more. Some will be less. And that's where that's coming from, is how much juice they actually need to use. And I'm glad you asked that, because there's also a lot of different types of fuses. There's little round cylinder fuses, right, that are glass. There's little tiny blade. There's micro blade fuses. There's big blade fuses. There's, the list goes on. I mean, you could find quite a few different types of 12-volt fuses out there. And yeah, you'll see, like,
That's like the tube.
That's the tube fuse right there. Yep.
Yep. Yep. And so this one, what it's come with, at least for me, is the battery chargers for my lithium batteries. Mm-hmm. That's what I've seen those in. And then the, what did you call, like, the plate ones?
Blade
ones. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Blade ones are usually the ones that are in the, that are built into the wires for fish finders.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so it's important to know what fuse you need if you're using what comes from your manufacturer. Because I know for my Garmin, so on my Garmin, I also have a GPS puck, right? So that GPS puck needs power too. And I have two black boxes, and both those need power. And my head unit obviously needs power. So there's 4 different things that I have that need power, right? And believe it or not, even though they all came from Garmin, they came with 3 different fuses. And they were all different sizes. Mm-hmm. 2 of them were the same type of fuse, and 1 was different.
Wow.
So you got to pay attention, you know, to what you're buying, because the blade fuses, those colors mean how many amps they are, right?
Yes.
So an orange one's different than a red one, and a red one's different than a blue one, and and so on. So you want to really pay attention to those amps, because you don't really want to over amp your system, especially your electronics, because you really never want anything to happen to your fish finder, because it's expensive. You know, I mean, that's like the last thing you want to happen.
Right.
When I know, I was thinking too, when you're saying like your fish finder's 3 amps or 6 amps, then is that per hour? So like if you get a 50 amp hour battery, does that say, oh, I can run my 3-amp fish finder for what? 20 hours or what? Well, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Exactly. It's not. So we were talking about fuse size when I was talking about amps. That's
right.
Generally going to be a little bit higher than what the actual usage of that item will be. Right. It's usually just a little bit above it. But it'll say again, like if you dig into your owner's manual, it'll actually tell you in there. Now here's where it gets tricky. They always give you the high amounts when you look that up, right? When you look up and say the Garmin, you know, 93 SV UHD plus uses, I'm just throwing, I don't know what the number is, but I'm just going to say 10 amps per hour, which is way over what it uses. That's the maximum usage of it. I found that everything that I have runs a little bit less than what their maximum is. But that's a really good guideline to go by, because you really want to, at the end of the day, you really want to get off the water with extra juice and not have too little juice.
Right.
You don't want to be out there and go blind or run out of motor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to have more. But that's a really good way to know that you have enough, is to do these numbers. Again, see, it's like research, man. And, and this is the most boring part of kayak rigging, right? Because all you're doing is taking notes. You're sitting at your computer. You're looking up all the amperages, and you're adding them all up to make sure your battery is going to be big enough. And then you're putting all the numbers for the gauge wires by everything that you need. And you haven't even touched your kayak.
Yeah, right. right?
Right? You're just sitting there looking at numbers and, oh, you know. But when you get all that stuff done right, it leads into a trouble-free season, right? You spend that time digging into those numbers and doing all the boring stuff and getting all the details and being a nerd for 2 weeks on it. And then you can forget about it. You know, that's what happens to me. It all goes out of my, it all goes out of my head. In 2 weeks, you ask me what gauge wire I put in. I'm not going to have a clue.
Right.
I'm not going to have a clue. I'll be like, I'll have to look. Maybe it was 16. Maybe it was 12. I'm not sure. You know.
But whereas, I guess if you take shortcuts, then that's when you do spend time out on the water trying to figure out why is this not working. And that's not definitely not when you want to be having to figure that stuff out.
Yeah, and you may not even be able to fix it.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, I don't bring a soldering iron to, with me to the ramp.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really don't. I bring an extra battery. I'll have an extra lead on that battery. You know, I might have an extra component here or there, but I don't have a whole, I'm not ready to like do heart surgery. I'm like,
right. Yeah. Now you were talking about, you know, trying to have as, you know, few splices and wiring, just have a, you know, one single connection or whatnot. I've seen some different types of connectors that people have used for, you know, going from, you know, the battery then to the fish finder or whatnot. Do you have any, I guess, like tips or insight or anything when it comes to connectors or anything?
Yeah,
like that?
I mean, yeah, I use like, obviously I use probably like, I use like a very normal ring connector. So thing about connectors, right? There's going to be two different sizes for them. There's going to be the wire size, and there's going to be the hole size for what, where the battery post would go through. So it's worth spending some time to get the right size for everything, because then it just makes putting it together a little easier. I mean, you can make it work if they're not the exact right size, but it makes it easier if you, again, take some notes when you go into the hardware store and you know that it's 10 gauge and 16 gauge that you need. And the battery post is whatever it is, quarter inch, eighth inch, whatever it might be. It's good to know those things, because then you'll be able to get the right piece for it. And it's worth soldering every connection, in my opinion, right? Now, I know some guys are big on crimping, right? And they say they have all the success in the world with crimping. I have never had a problem when I properly soldered something ever coming loose, ever getting corroded in between the two or anything, because it becomes a solid piece. There's no place for water to intrude to cause any corrosion to happen in between the two metals, right? Because you're going from a copper wire to whatever they, I don't even know what, whatever they make those little connectors out of to your battery, you know, or to your, whatever else you're connecting to, you know, on the other end of it. So my advice would be solder everything.
Gotcha. Now I know that that can be kind of a rabbit hole on its own too, soldering and everything too. But I mean, you know, to kind of keep it most simple, you know, I couldn't tell you the first thing about soldering. Like, I have a soldering iron. I've used it maybe once. It wasn't for anything kayak fishing related. It was like a little arts and crafty thing I did. But are there, I guess, like, are there different metals to use when it comes to soldering, or is it all the same?
You know, what I pick out is all the same stuff. I mean, there are, you don't want to use plumbing solder for your electrical stuff. You want to use an electrical solder. But that's like, usually if you go to your hardware store, like if you walk into a Lowe's, they have right where the soldering guns are. That's the solder I use. That's the paste I use. The flux I use is what the paste is. And that cleans the metal. So you clean your metal, then you stick it in that little paste, and it will help the solder flow onto whatever that paste is on.
Okay.
You know, crimping does work too. You know, I go a little overboard on my stuff because I just am so paranoid about having problems on the road.
Right.
But crimping does work too. So if you're a little hesitant on soldering, buying a decent little crimping gun to do the little crimps it isn't a bad way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely good to know. Cause like, I honestly, yeah, without talking with you, like I'm very like basic, like, you know, third grade level, like, okay, yep. I'm just gonna, you know, crimp my wires together and not really think much of it, you know, but now learning, you know, soldering, I'm like, oh, okay. But then like, you know, for somebody who's never done stuff like that before, you're just kind of like, well, am I going to do this right? Like, what am I going to mess up? Like, am I just going to set everything on fire?
I have burned holes in my pants with a soldering gun before. Just saying, it happens.
It happens. It does happen. You can't help but do that at least once.
Right. Yeah. Let's see here. I was also going to show.
I was going to say, if we look at his pictures.
Yes. Bring that up here.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
There we go. So I got a few different pictures that you had shared recently on your Facebook page. But obviously, he's in a Hopi Pearl Angler, and he took off the rod tubes and the rod tube plates. And from here, it looks like you're running some different connectors, I would assume.
Yeah, so what those are, those little red things down there, those are the backs to the plugs that I'm using. To the switches that I'm using. Those are all the backs. So there's four of them down there. Mm-hmm. And that I have four switches that are going into that little delete plate right there.
Okay.
The one that Tim Piercy makes. Hopefully you have a picture of it.
Let's see here. This is kind of on the inside here. So kind of taking a look at that. So like just first glance at that, I'm like, what in the world is that?
So there's a lot going on there. There really is a lot going on there. So there's six different fuses that are happening here. And this is one of those little fuse plates you can buy, and you connect your positive to the top, the negative to the bottom, and then you connect all the negatives to the bottom plate that you see along the bottom. And then next to each one of those little blade fuses you see, each one of those, yep, those right there, that runs off to an item that uses power from there, and that's what's powering everything.
Oh.
And that's before it's all cleaned up. That's, you're seeing the octopus. You're seeing it all in raw. This is just everything kind of opened up and laid out that had just gotten it in there.
Mm-hmm.
This is before I put everything in wire loom. But this is a way for me, because my kayak isn't the most complicated, but it's definitely one of the more complicated, I feel like, as far as the trunks goes, because I got lights that I'm powering.
Mm-hmm.
And my fish finder itself requires four different fuse items.
Whew.
Just for the fish finder. So, you know, there's a few things that need to be fused. And you can see I run two black boxes because I get two panoptic transducers. And each one of those has to be fused individually, right?
Wow.
So, I mean, there's two right there.
Wow.
On that fuse box, is that like universal? Can you fit like, you know, different size depending what you run? I always thought like in your car, the slots seem to be almost sized per fuse, but there they look kind of like I see, you know, two, three oranges, a red and a purple. So you can put whatever fuse you want there.
Yep, exactly. So, okay. But you want to be conscious of what it's going to, right?
Right, right.
So that, let's say you have a really thin wire, that something doesn't need a big wire. Well, you got to remember that's a really thin wire, so you don't want to put a big fuse in there.
Okay.
The reason those are all different colors is because everything I got on there uses different,
yeah.
Uses, a lot, mm-hmm. uses different amounts of energy, right?
And I see here, yeah, down at the bottom, you've got different size gauge wires down here on the bottom, too. So, yeah, you can run different sizes, too, if needed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a little hard to see, but there's probably three different gauges on the red wires.
Mm-hmm.
And on the black wires, there's probably at least three, if not four, different gauges on those.
Wow.
I'm looking at the bracket that's mounting that thing to the kayak too. How is that?
So on the Pro Anglers, that little black strap you see coming up over the top, that's for the hatch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it has a little nut underneath there. And when I saw that nut in there, I was like, man, what a perfect way for me to
make
a little bracket to get it up off the bottom of the kayak, right? And just keep it really, really high.
Yeah, and using already what's part of the kayak and not having to drill another hole in it, too.
Exactly. I try to drill as few holes in my kayak as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to, right?
Right. I mean,
there's no way around it, but I try to, like, really minimize that.
Yeah. Let's see here. So, yeah, there's those. And then just kind of, I'm sure there's a method to the madness. There's your two black boxes up here. And so you run two fish finders total?
No, just one fish finder.
Oh, okay.
But I have two panoptic transducers, right?
So oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why there's two black boxes. I only have one fish finder.
Gotcha. Okay. I didn't know if you had went to the dual screen yet or not. So, okay.
Gotcha. Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet is the keyword there. Yep. Let's see here. So, yep. Here's
there's one of the plates.
One of the plates. Yep. And you said that Tim Percy makes these?
Yep. Tim makes them and they fit in there. Like, that one's not... it's still like that right now because I'm waiting for some lights to come.
Mm-hmm.
But when you fit them on there, man, it is a perfect fit. It is so clean looking. I mean, it's such a simple item. I'm glad Tim makes them. They're not very expensive at all either.
Yeah, he definitely makes some good quality stuff. So you were talking about, so then the ends would just kind of like plug in on the back side of this.
Exactly how those switches were made. It had that red plug and then it has like four prongs on the back of each one of those switches, and it plugs into the back of those prongs.
Okay. And so with these, I guess, like, are they just like a push button switch? Like, what do you use those for?
So that's my fish finder side. That's everything that powers my fish finder. That's the GPS puck, that's the head unit, and that's the two black boxes.
Oh, wow.
So I can turn them on and off individually. If there's a problem or something, I can kill one thing and not kill the whole system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Nice. And
that's where I added some complexity to my system that some people don't. Some people don't want to be able to turn everything off individually.
Right.
For me, I kind of wanted that flexibility to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a nice thing about, you know, this type of stuff is just you can customize it any way you want to, really.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's one of the things that's attracted me to kayak fishing is, man, is just the what we can do the kayaks to make them our own. You know, everybody's stuff is different. I love it, man. I love the, I think it's really cool, you know?
Yeah. It's always fun, like tournament time, you know, once everybody's done or whatnot, you know, you always like to kind of walk past everybody's pack, be like, oh, okay, I see how you set that up, you know, type of thing. Yeah. It's pretty cool what some people can think of. And I'm like, I wouldn't have even thought of that.
Yeah, and sometimes it's neat to see the guys who over-engineer stuff, man. It's
yes.
Like so far over the top, right? It's so far over the top. I'm like, wow, that's impressive. How many hours you got in that?
Right. But yeah, this looks like a mostly complete, you know, setup here, because it looks like that fusing has like a cover on it. And then you've got,
everything. Yeah, everything's wire loomed here that you can see. So all the power wires that go from one side of the kayak to the other side for the switches are all wire loomed. And then the ones that come off from the switch panel that goes straight to the fuses, that's also wire loomed. I wire loomed everything I could to protect it. What you're not seeing here, it's all laying on the ground on the bottom of the kayak. I was able to mount all that stuff up on the kayak higher.
Nice. So
none of the wires that are power wires are on the bottom of the kayak at all.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty nice. And that's like one of my biggest things too, is like everybody who has a Hobie, like we know that water gets in that kayak. It doesn't matter how tight we have it, just it makes its way in there. And like, I haven't found like the best way to keep my wires like just up and off of the ground or off of the bottom of the kayak, which, you know, makes them more prone to corrosion or going bad or what have you. So, but this is very nice. This is nice and clean with that wire wrap stuff. And yeah.
Are the black boxes mounted to any, or like they're mounted to a plate I could see, but then is that plate mounted to anything, or is that kind of free floating there?
The plate isn't staying in that position right there. Okay. I still have some wiring for my lights to do, so I haven't done the final mount. What that will do is that'll be tilted up and then zip tied to the post right there.
Gotcha.
So the black box will be up, straight up and down.
Okay.
Oh, nice. I like it.
And again, I couldn't put two black boxes side by side if I had the rod tubes in there. They go over the switch panels a fair amount on each side.
Yeah, they take up quite an amazing amount of room in the kayaks there. And,
now, is your battery in the front compartment too, or where do you put that?
So I'm able to slide my battery underneath my seat. So there's that hatch.
Okay. Yep.
I was able to take that out. There's two foam blocks that I took out, but I added foam blocks above my battery and then underneath it to support the battery. So when I slide that battery in there, it kind of replaces the support those foam blocks did. It barely fits too. I mean, I have to like wiggle it to get it to go in every time. It's like, it's tight. It's tight, gotcha. But it does fit. It does fit. And I like it there too, because it's very centrally weighted in the kayak.
Right.
I mean, we put so much stuff on our kayaks, man, they can easily
teeter,
like, lean a little bit to one side.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy.
So you're running basically everything off of just the one battery then.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm running, you know, because my motors run. I have a Torquedo, so I have Torquedo batteries for my Torquedo motor.
Yes.
So yeah, my fish finder, my lights, the GPS puck, the two GLS-10 boxes for the Panoptics. Yeah, that's all off the fish finder, or off one battery.
One battery. Gotcha. What kind and size and amp and what battery do you use for all that?
So it's a Miller Tech battery, and it's a 45 that I use right now for it.
Nice.
45 amp hour. And I have plenty of juice at the end of the day.
I was just going to ask,
I've actually run 2 days with my fish finder on it. Now, I wasn't running my lights or anything during those 2 days, but, you know, I mean, there's plenty of juice with it. You know, like I said, I believe in having a little bit of extra juice.
Right.
Versus cutting it close.
Because I've heard that the Panoptic stuff, you know, can kind of drain the batteries a bit more and whatnot. So I didn't know if you had experienced some of that too with those.
Yeah. When I first got my Panoptix, I was a little impressed with how much juice they actually used. I was like, well, I guess I'm upgrading my battery now.
Right.
You know, and then I got another black box added on to it. So another Panoptix added on to it. I was like, well,
I was going to say, what does the second one do? Like, I know, or do you have then three transducers total, or do you like one for down imaging, side imaging, or does one of the Panoptix do that?
So I have three of them total.
That's
so
what I thought.
One that does downside, right? Like in traditional sonar. That mount on the traditional Hobie plate underneath, the Guardian plate underneath. And then the two Panoptix transducers. So one of them shoots in perspective mode, which is a very flat and shallow and gives me a very wide view from side to side. But it's only works in shallow water. Let's say up to 10 feet, it works really good, unless 15 feet, kind of, and then much more than that, you can't see the bottom.
Is that like the one where it's like in a circle?
Or is that would be the Hummingbird 360. This is more like almost half of a pie.
Almost
half of a pie. When you look out, it shoots out like this, and you see kind of like almost half of a pie.
Gotcha.
And then I have another one set up in what they call their forward, which actually shoots an image below you and in front of you, and you can see like 60 feet below you.
Wow.
It's very thin though, right? You're not seeing a pie anymore. You're seeing just a little sliver of the action that's happening.
And that one's very directional, like right? Movie. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That one's very directional. That's the one you're going to be kind of aiming, right?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. You have to be pointed like if you want to look at a tree, you have to point it directly at that tree. Mm-hmm. Where in perspective mode, the tree just kind of shows up on the screen.
Gotcha. Yep. And you probably have, I know there's several different versions now of, like mounts and stuff that I've seen for Hobies that can clamp right on to the H rails that you can, you know, use to like turn it and whatnot too.
Yeah. I actually have one that I made myself.
Nice.
Out of aluminum, you know. There's some really nice ones coming. Yak Attack's got one in the pipeline that looks killer. I can't wait till it hits the market. There's lots of good ones out there. There's the sniper one, right? That has the rotational arrow on the top. There's lots of good ones out there.
Right. Yeah. Again, a rabbit hole that I haven't even tried to go down yet because I'm like, I'm still learning a lot about my original fish finders still.
It is a rabbit hole, man. It is like a deep rabbit hole.
Right. But definitely good stuff. This has been pretty awesome. Let's see here. I'm trying to think of like what other questions to ask when it comes to
knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Electronics and stuff like that. Sean, can you think of?
I know you mentioned like the through-hole wiring kits and stuff. Mm-hmm. I know, like I found besides the one that the Hobies come. I know at least my Outback has some that were built in that I used for my fish finder initially, and that worked great. And then I found the Yak Attack ones that also seemed like very similar to the Hobie ones. I know the instructions on mine say drill a 1-inch hole, and I was like, that's a big hole. But the everything I've seen online seems to people are happy with them, and you know, it seems to keep things watertight for the most part. Do you have any other that you recommend or that you've used?
Honestly, those are the top two off my head, man.
Okay.
The neat thing about the Hobie is that they got three ports on them, right?
Yes.
So if you got multiple things you want to run out of there, you can. That's kind of neat. The thing I like about the Yak Attack ones is that they seem to be like really watertight, more so than the Hobies. The Hobies seem to have a little bit of water intrusion can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot, you know, but and some. So I mean, it's a give or take, you know.
And do you silicone them then, or like I know I didn't silicone my Hobie ones, but the video I watched, the guy siliconed his Yak Attack ones.
You know, I have siliconed my Hobie ones just to
okay
due diligence. You know what I mean? When I overdo stuff quite often, honestly. You know what I mean? I'll be in there messing with it. I'll be like, man, that may not be a bad idea. I'll just squirt some silicone on it.
Yeah,
jam it shut.
I have it, so I'm like, anything that I screw into that, I silicone. It seems like
yeah, exactly. Right.
I'm like, if it doesn't need to be, I'm like, yeah, it's not gonna hurt anything.
Exactly. There, so. Yeah. Yeah. It's not gonna hurt. Why not?
Right.
It could only help.
Right, and I have this big old tube of it, so it's not like I'm gonna run out of it. So I might as well keep using it.
When it comes to silicone, what I wanted to ask you about this too is, do you ever find yourself like needing to like re-silicone after like a season or anything like that, or like finding that maybe it kind of is coming apart a little bit? I had used some like waterproof marine grade silicone one time, and I don't know if I just whatever it have you, but I had on the outside of the kayak, I had my lights running through the hole, and it seemed like at the end of the season, like it was just like deteriorating or falling apart. So I didn't know if you've had any experience like that, or maybe it was just like a random fluke with me.
I can't say have any experience with it deteriorating. You know, I've had it like pull apart on some mm-hmm. stuff. That maybe flexed a little bit too much, or who knows what happened.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't clean it enough. You know what I mean? Because if you don't clean the surface really, really, really good,
yeah,
with silicone, it sometimes won't stick right. But I haven't had any like actually deteriorate. Usually when I use silicone, it seems to be like almost indestructible. You know, like it lasts forever.
Yeah.
I may not use that silicone brand again.
Right.
Yeah. I use Goop and the marine grade, and it's that's worked good stuff for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah. I know what else I was going to ask you. So with your battery being in that square hatch, now I've heard both sides of this when it comes to lithium batteries, but at least from what I've seen, you know, on the manufacturer's websites and guides, you technically don't need a like storage box to keep your batteries in for lithium batteries. Is that correct?
Let's say that having a storage box, especially if it's on the outside of your kayak where it may get a lot of water on it, is a really good idea. I can't speak for every manufacturer out there, but from what I've read about lithium batteries, they all have a small, tiny breathe hole in some place, right? Because they get hot on the inside, and then they get cool when you're not using them and charging them, they get hot. So there needs to be some way for that air to equalize in them. So that's what you don't want to get water on, because if that thing sucks that water into it, that's obviously not good.
Right.
It's a good idea. I think with any manufacturer's batteries that are out there, and maybe you can find some military grade one that doesn't, that's totally sealed somehow. But mm-hmm. I'd put them in some type of box if it's on the outside of the kayak. I think that's just a good idea. Now, there's probably going to be 900 guys that say, oh, I haven't done that, and I haven't had any problems. They probably haven't. You know, I mean.
Right, yeah. Which is, yeah, kind of why I'm asking you, too, because, like, yeah, I've read places where, like, yeah, you should keep it in concealed, and then other guys, I'm like, oh, yeah, you can have it on the backside of your kayak. You'll be fine, even if it's pouring down rain. I'm like, really?
And they're probably right, and they're probably fine. Again, I all overdo stuff, you know what I mean? I'll overdo mm-hmm. it. But now, do you want to be on the middle of Gunnersville Lake in a rainstorm and then have your battery crap out because there's some tiny little breathing hole that sucked in a minute amount of moisture?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or do you want to put it in a box and never even have to worry about it?
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Now the one under your seat, is it wedged in tight enough that you don't have to mount it there or have anything that kind of holds it there? Or it...
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean because there's like two scupper drains that come up right there, right?
Yep.
And it fits in between those, and man, it's like literally when I put it in there, I have to like wiggle it and get it to like shimmy through those to fit in. When I fit it in there, because I have put some foam in there to replace the foam blocks. Mm-hmm. The space, like when it goes in there, it's like locked in. There's no place for it to, like, you couldn't even force it to move out of there. You know, it's surrounded by foam on the top, in the back, and then there's those two posts on the sides. Yeah, it's pretty locked. It's almost like it was made to go in there, really.
And your leads are in the front then, or like facing the opening? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, if I'm sitting on it, the leads are pointing towards the front of the kayak.
Right. Okay.
And what I do is I just have a instead of like unbolting those leads, that's the one place that I have a disconnect, right?
Okay.
And I use one of those waterproof car disconnects that are like super hardcore waterproof, you know, not the little trailer ones, the super hardcore.
Yeah, that have like the little, you have to like push down on like the little clip thingy to pull them apart and whatnot. Yep,
exactly. Yep, exactly.
That's what I use for disconnecting and connecting my batteries to everything. But I got to work on the rest of the wiring because that's a little bit of a mess.
And those are the best. If you're going to have a disconnect someplace, those are the best ones to use because they truly are waterproof.
Yeah.
Like you can truly have them underwater and they won't have water get inside.
Nice. Awesome. Well, definitely good stuff, especially, you know, when it comes to this type of stuff, because I mean, yeah, I remember, man, when I was first getting into kayak fishing, I was super intimidated with like electronics and running wiring and stuff like that. I was just like, I don't have any idea what I'm doing. I'm afraid to do something because, you know, I was afraid I was going to like, you know, blow stuff up or set stuff on fire, you know, but, you know, after talking with some people and seeing, how people have things, set up and wired and everything, it definitely helped, you know, ease, you know, my mind in a sense. So, definitely some awesome insight.
Yeah, I burned up a few wires.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure everybody's had their fiasco of wiring things. I was going to say last year, my motor. So one of the crimps on one of the ends just wasn't crimped just good enough. And like the wire had actually just kind of barely pulled out. And I was just like, man, I've got everything plugged in just right. Like got out of the kayak, you know, I'm looking around. And I was like, what is going on here? And then sure enough, I saw that that wire was just loose enough. And I was just like, oh man, you know, so.
And it doesn't take much either, man.
No.
It just a little bit of tiny bit of play, you know, and all of a sudden it just won't work.
Nothing.
You know?
Yep. 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 Exactly. Well, Kurt, this has been really awesome. Thanks again for, you know, coming on the show tonight, kind of go down the rabbit hole with us when it comes to wiring your electronics on the kayak. Sean, did you have anything else that you wanted to
No, I was just going to say, we'll have to get links from you for, you know, where those, where you got those, the guy who makes those plates. We can, definitely give him a shout out and, you know, that kind of thing too. That way folks can find them if needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim Piercy is his name. You look up Tim Piercy Fishing and it'll take you to his website.
I know Tim. Yep. Yeah, I know his website. He's got more than just, mounting plates and stuff like that too. He's got a bunch of cool stuff. He's even got some like wire art that he can custom make for you too, which is really neat. So
that's cool.
Yeah, he makes some really good stuff. And then Kurt, if you wanted to shout out any sponsors or people or whatnot, let's hear them.
Yeah, thanks. I'd like to throw out my sponsors, Yak Attack, Torquedo. I mean, I can't thank these guys enough. Miller Tech Lithium, Picasso Lures. These are the guys that help keep me on the water. Fishing Online, I don't want to forget these guys. They're instrumental in what I do and helping me, do what I do. So, if anyone needs anything or wants to check anything out, contact me. I'll help you walk you through whatever, or just go straight to those guys. They'll help you. They're all really good companies to work with.
Awesome sauce. All right. Good stuff. Well, Sean, you want to close this out?
Well, thanks again for coming on and appreciate you coming on and just, really making a complicated subject pretty easy there, Kurt. And, definitely have to have you back on again sometime. I was just looking. When I went back to look at what we talked to you about before, I saw Blade Baits, and I'm like, I'm gonna go watch that again because now it's Blade Bait season. So
yeah, exactly,
I definitely use a refresher on that. So, thanks again so much for coming on, and everyone, thanks again for listening. Be sure to check out Kurt. We'll link him on all his socials and everything, and check out his sponsors as well. Again, thanks again for listening, everyone. This has been the Bass Fishing for Noobs segment here on the Paddle and Fin podcast, where we bring you the techniques, the tricks, and the tips to help you rip more lips. You guys have a good night.
Good night.
Offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
To go like just full-blown redneck on these fish.
This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.